You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play music in the spoken word.
Now playing music in the spoken word.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
It's the KSL Movie Show.
The end is inevitable. Your kind is headed for extinction.
Maybe so, sir, but not today.
With Doug Wright and Steve Sales. The week's big movie review, movie news, games, and prizes. Here's Doug Wright.
Yes, I am pretty despicable. You don't want to cross me.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
So I'm despicable.
Wow.
See? Finally, we cut an intro to the show that is truth in advertising.
No.
You know, hey, there we go. The movie show here at KSL News Radio. Coming to you today from, we're going to be hanging out with our friend Matt Deering. And, of course, whenever we're here at my hearing centers, always have a good time, hang out, and so on.
We got hearts behind us.
We got them's Valentine's.
Yeah, what's up?
I don't know.
His next one should be like St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, yeah. We'll have, 18,
green people.
Green people. No, you have shamrocks.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Sure, be good now. Oh, no, we're doing the cheesy accents already. Dee will not be pleased. Steven.
Yeah.
We probably ought to do the movie show preview because
it's the beginning of the show.
Yeah, it's the beginning of the show, and it makes sense. And it also kind of either, warns people what we're going to do. I know, what is he brewing over there?
Matt always comes in
and takes whatever beverage is in front of him and enhances it with the true...
He feels like he's discovered.
True lime, is that what that is?
Yeah, but it's like a pepper spray or whatever.
Is it really true lime or is it false lime? I mean, what do you think
true.
There, Matt? Yeah, it says true. And, on this show it is truth in advertising, as you know. Whoops, wrong one. There we go. No, we need... Stone's pushing the right button here. See, now I had it cranked up, so...
Yeah, this is dehydrated lime.
Dehydrated.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
And then crystallized.
Crystallized.
So that you can put it in your drinks.
So you're having a lime Diet Coke?
You left out the maltodextrin non-GMO, whatever that is.
And yeah, that's a lot of words I probably couldn't pronounce.
Steve's over there drinking that crap called Zero Coke.
And you're drinking that
which is
soccer
zero,
mom soda.
Then I've got the true, the enlightened. Yeah. This is pure.
It's Diet Coke.
Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Pure Coke
it's
is pure.
Doug,
like the
cocaine
bear.
Do you ever put lime or lemon in your pure Diet Coke?
Only if it's the real fruit.
Oh, so this is the real. This is so we'll
it's
try it.
Crystallized
later.
Dried.
It's real.
It took all the good out
real.
Of it.
Somehow we got a little waylaid there.
Yeah, sorry.
I apologize. You guys should do
the warning.
The That's right.
This is the warning label on the movie show. This
show
is
should start with that, the thing of, like, this is a broadcasting alert.
That's right. Void where prohibited. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the movie show preview is sponsored by our friends at Call Climate Services. Here we go.
The following preview has been rated G and is appropriate for all audiences. The movie show, special feature.
Okay, the big movie of the week. Is Cocaine Bear.
Yep.
I done seen it last night, Stephen.
Did you have a crowd with you?
Well, yeah.
I think it's kind of going to be another hit.
Because when they did the critic screening of Cocaine Bear, I was doing my civic duty. We had a town hall meeting, which our legislators in our area kind of crosses over into Cottonwood Heights and Murray and Mill Creek and also Holiday. And Mayor Silvestrini from
it all up in that rarefied air.
Rarefied air. Now Mill Creek goes all the way, across the valley practically, and then
we don't count those folks.
Then Murray is, and Holiday. Hollerday's the second oldest settlement in Utah.
Yeah, but it's still up there in rarefied air.
Kind of. Well, you live high up on the bench, too.
Even higher now.
Even higher now with the snow. So, anyway, Cocaine Bear. So, I did not see the critic screening of Cocaine Bear because, you know, we're having the
town. It was a wild crowd.
The town hall gathering, you know, for the legislative session, which our legislators do. It's really a nice public service that they do. So, I wasn't able to see it with, you know, the chic and elite like yourself. But I saw it with real folks, so we'll give the review of Cocaine Bear. Jesus Revolution, we'll be talking about that. Here's a little movie that is maybe not for everyone's taste, but if you are a bibliophile or if you kind of appreciate the art of writing and editing and so on, I really like Turn Every Page, so we'll be talking about that.
I still don't know if it's opening, though, or not.
Well, we'll pretend it is because it's good to talk about. And then Emily, I have not seen this one.
Emily is like a Victorian Wednesday Addams.
Really?
Yeah, it's really well done, and it's kind of fun.
All right. Whoa. You know, I really liked Wednesday Addams, so you intrigued me already. Then streaming, we'll be talking about We Have a Ghost, Outer Banks. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, Outer Banks Season 3.
Now, for We Mere Mortals, it doesn't start till today, but yeah. You had a dump of the programs.
I think I've watched the first 6 episodes already.
Have you? Yeah. Oh.
It's, you know.
Steve, you need to get a life.
Unfortunately, I was watching it with my daughter who hasn't seen any of it. And she goes, this is the – remember how we talked about everything is a coincidence in this show?
Yeah.
She goes, well, that's convenient.
Yeah, it's convenient. Then The Reluctant Traveler, all of that is coming
up. You're going to love The Reluctant Traveler.
Looking forward to it. Movie news. We've got the movie news coming up for you. And a special guest, Tori Baker, is going to be back, despite, you know, her better judgment. Tori's going to be back, the president, CEO of the Salt Lake Film Society. And, of course, Black History Month. They've been doing some really cool things.
Yeah.
And we can still, there are still two really good films, I'm spacing
like
the name.
Judas and the Black Messiah.
Judas and the yeah, exactly. I couldn't quite
I was trying to think of the other movie that they had going.
Yeah, Judas and the Black Messiah. They've already had like Black Panther and Eve's Bayou and Tales from the Hood and so on. But we'll be talking with Tori about that, plus other things that are coming up, upcoming programs, and we'll talk about all kinds of cool things that are happening with Salt Lake Film Society. Streaming news will be online, the movie show Top 10, and then also Dee will grace us with her appearance. She will be here with the quirky picks of the week, a little telephone torture, fabulous prizes worth up to dollars. It's all here.
Did you say we have a plethora?
We have a plethora of things coming up. Do you know what a plethora is?
I've learned.
We've learned. Everybody's learned here on the movie show because, you know, we can never drive something in the ground deep enough.
I know.
We'll
push it off the cliff.
Just keep hammering
and bring
it
down. Bring it back up.
And bring in a pile driver and just bam, bam, bam. And I think it's time, and we need to go with our theme song on this one for the big movie review. Here we go.
And now, the big movie review. Doug and Steve tell you everything your family needs to know about the biggest release of the week.
Okay. And by the way, the Big Movie Review is sponsored by Paris RV. Make every weekend a vacation with an RV from Paris RV.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome aboard. Boy, I'll tell you, I've watched that big location down there in Utah County and down around Payson. Holy
When I go
cow.
To those RV shows, I just like, oh.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, they are just wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This ain't the camper that you used to stick on the back of the 64 Chef pickup, you know.
With the little side things shove stuff in.
These Hummers are considerably different. Oh, so, yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, back of the ranch. The big movie is, of course, Cocaine Bear. I mean, you just have to love that title. Here's a little sound from Cocaine Bear.
A lot of cocaine was lost.
I need you to go and get it.
No, don't eat that. Don't eat that.
Let's see what kind of effect that has on
the bear. It did cocaine.
There was a bear.
A bear?
It was...
Hey, that's inappropriate.
You're safe. Bears can't climb trees.
Of course they can.
You know... Okay, it starts off with the plane flying along. And
did you notice who that was?
Who was that?
That's Matthew Rhys, the guy that's the new Perry Mason.
Oh, okay.
He's married to Carrie Russell, who's also
that
in this.
That makes sense.
He said, hey, do you have somebody doing the drop-off thing at the beginning?
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Banks says, no. She goes, I'll do it.
He's running up and down. Yeah, I mean, and everything is Elizabeth Banks here. Elizabeth Banks producer, Elizabeth Banks director, Elizabeth Banks, you know, except she doesn't star in it. So anyway, running up and down this cargo plane, throwing these like weird backpack, and this is back in the day, and they open, you know, based on a true story, but boy, I mean,
no,
holy
it
God.
Is
I know, right down in Georgia, but you know, the cocaine bear stuff and everything.
Well, what happens after he takes it?
But yeah, but the drop really did happen.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, well, at the end they give a little, you know, what
you know what he reminded
happened.
Me of is Star-Lord at the beginning of Guardians of the Galaxy.
He's just kicking the little kicking animals. He's throwing these bags out and everything. And then when he goes to bail out, that is a hilarious moment. And that just sets the stage for tragedy and the most unbelievable violence and blood and guts and gore being hilarious.
It's so over the top. They actually tried to outdo each other when they watched the final movie.
Yeah.
They were howling. Oh, I didn't. My death is much easier than your death.
It is unbelievable. And,
I mean, Margot Martindale, what they did to that poor woman.
Oh, I know. This, you know, she's the
park ranger.
Well, and she's the sweet old lady in Secretariat, or she's the tough mother in Justified.
Yeah, yeah.
You've seen her. You know
who she is.
Yeah, you know who she is.
She's like really great actress.
And she's, you know, kind of getting all dolled up in her ranger uniform because this guy's coming along and she wants
to. Did you recognize him?
Who was that?
That's Jesse Tyler Ferguson from Modern Family playing a hillbilly.
We're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but the bottom line is these duffel bags of cocaine are dropping all over this Georgia
millions of dollars
National Forest, right? National Forest. And so. And these hikers, and they're just those delightfully wonderful, annoying foreigners from Norway, you know, who are going along, and they see a bear, and the bear's doing all kinds of squirrely stuff, and they're going, well,
yeah,
there's this.
Banging his head on a tree.
And he reminds, you know, the Olaf, or whatever his name is, reminds his hiking partner, they're madly in love, that, well, if it's black, you fight back. If it's brown, you lie down. You know, which is kind of it. I mean, black bears, you know, can be intimidated.
When she said, well, what is it? It looks black, but might be brown. He goes, no, it's definitely black.
It's definitely black. But this bear, and finally they go, there's something wrong. And we get a little taste of what the violence is going to be.
Literally.
When something the bear drags her off and something flies out and you go, okay, it's time to buckle up. And it just goes on and on and on. And finally, these two kids, Terry Russell, right?
Kerry
Russell, sorry. Yeah, I loved her in the movie about pies. Remember when she, the waitress.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Waitress.
And she was in The Americans.
Oh, you've seen her before, but I loved her in Waitress. And so anyway, she's, you know, the mom who goes off and but the kids are disappointed. She's a nurse, and so she's off to work. These two kids are going to sneak out because they want to color the waterfall. And I think you did. I think you just pour, you know, coloring in it and whatever. Anyway, but they run into the bear. And you're going, oh, my goodness, what happened to these kids? Then all of a sudden, we realize that Ray Liotta, who's kind of the godfather of this drug deal, is he sends his it gets so complicated because his son is in the business, and he ends up being the grandfather who's taking care of the grandson.
His son is that guy from Solo, Alden Ehrenreich. And his partner is O'Shea Jackson Jr.,
right?
Who is Ice. I get them all mixed up.
I know. We've got Matthew Reese. We've got everybody and their dog in this movie. But do you know my favorite character in this movie? Because
was it the bad boy?
No, it was
Isaiah.
It was the cop on the top of the gazebo.
Yes,
I love this character and the way this twists and turns.
How
and
in the world did they get him to do that?
I have no idea. Any way that somebody could die by a bear attack and be maimed or dismembered by a bear.
Yeah, oh, the humanity.
And my wife asked when I went home last night, and I said, oh, you would have gone insane with the little cubs. And there are just moments. And boy, I'll tell you, the final scene where Ray Liotta finally meets his demise. Oh, yeah. Awful Braveheart type moment, you know.
Well, Elizabeth Banks kept going, more blood.
More
I need
blood.
To see more. It has to be way over the top.
So what's the grade on this one, Steve?
I gave it a B.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is such a guilty, guilty pleasure. In some places, I thought it really went over the top. You know, with Ray Liotta's demise, the little cute little bears, you know.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Man. But I'm probably, on your scale, I'd be a B-minus, I think. But, oh, boy, this is not, don't take Grandma to this movie. This is not for the faint of heart.
No, I thought I'd lost my mojo when Violent Nights came out.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This movie, I laughed all the way through.
There were parts.
It is so ridiculous.
And you can't believe you're laughing
at
this.
It's insanely funny.
I know. It's called Cocaine Bear.
And by the way, rated R.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, rated R. Okay.
Movie reviews and Hollywood news. The KSL Movie Show.
Okay. Time for a little movie news here,
right.
Stephen. Are you ready to go?
Yep.
Okay. Avatar. This is something I had not even considered. You know, I've talked about all of the records and all of the money and everything else. But I was reading this article. I thought it was so interesting. The total number of different versions of the movie that are playing in cinemas around the world, according to The Hollywood Reporter, is 1,065 different versions of the movie. Now, that's not to say they're changing the plot, but, I mean, think of it. Just in a megaplex theater.
Oh, right. The different formats.
With the different sound formats, the different digital. Is it some people? I'm assuming there's some backwater places in the world maybe still showing it, you know, on film and everything else. But then you think also of all of the different subtitling and everything else that goes on. You know, I hadn't even thought about that. Over 1,000 different cuts of the movie to accommodate all of the different venues, the technical requirements that make it available all around the world. And some of them are overdubbed. Some of them are subtitled. I mean, just that alone, think of all the languages
out there.
So that number sounds absolutely crazy, but when you do kind of sit back and think about it, and then, of course, it's the highest-grossing movie since Avengers Endgame in 2019. Now, that takes us through the pandemic years as well, and then the third highest-grossing movie of all time, Avatar. I don't even think of those kinds of things, but then I think, you know, you take one, you know, take the District with 21 screens. You take the Gateway that's all digital now and everything else. Just in the Megaplex theaters alone.
Yeah.
I mean, the IMAX, the 3D, the 2D, the everything else. I wonder how, now there's something for Jeff the Whipple. You know, as a matter of fact, we ought to give him a call and see if maybe he'd join us next week or something. I wonder how many different versions of Avatar actually played just in our Megaplex theaters alone.
I kind of want to see it in Spanish. That'd be fun.
That would be cool, wouldn't it? Or Hungarian or something like that. Okay, Stephen, top that.
Ryan Reynolds.
Yes?
His next starring role, well, of course, we know that he's going to be in the next Deadpool 3 with Wolverine.
I'm so looking forward to Wolverine and that.
But he's now announced that he will be starring in a movie called Boy Band.
Oh, no. As Deadpool?
No. It's the same group that put together Free Guy. You know,
oh,
that
yeah?
was a great little movie.
That was a great movie.
So it's that same group, and they're going to make a movie called Boy Band, and it's described as a comedy that is a reunion of a boy band years after they have, you know, not become famous. Or
yeah.
So that could be. I love Ryan Reynolds. But, yeah.
What was it, Words and Lyrics, where Hugh Grant played the part of a guy that was in a boy band?
Oh, right.
And, you know, and I really liked that movie with Drew Barrymore.
Yeah, that was fun.
I thought it was great.
Cute.
And so the concept intrigues me.
Yeah, no, I know. It should be good.
Okay, Ang Lee, one of the great filmmakers out there.
I haven't seen him in a while.
I know. He said he's going to bring something new to the action. And the way the action is done in the new biopic on Bruce Lee.
Oh.
Now, you know, he's been famous. A lot of people thought, well, are you going to break the frame barrier again? You know, instead of 24 frames and to go with many, many more frames. Because that changes the look of a film. And he said, no, I'm not going to break the frame rate this time on that. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm going a whole different type thing where I want to go the action. And guess who's going to play Bruce Lee?
It's
his son, Mason Lee.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, He said, someday we'll create something new when it comes to the 24 frames, but not with this movie. And he said that he's keeping everything really close to the chest, but it's all going to be focused on the action. And he said, you know, Bruce Lee was such an interesting guy because, you know, he was kind of not all American. He wasn't all Chinese. And he ended up being a real bridge there.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It makes me wonder what Ang Lee's going to do with this. But he keeps talking about the action part of it and the martial arts part of it. And he's not going to enhance it with frame differences and so on. So
kind of hoping they'd bring the guy back, Mike, whatever his name is, from Once Upon a Time in the West.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was great.
He was. He was great in that.
All right. Well, Warner Brothers is revamping the Lord of the Rings film franchise. I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
They've brokered a deal to make multiple films based on J.R.R. Tolkien's book.
Tolkien's?
Peter Jackson says he is being kept in the loop, although no filmmakers are yet attached. So they are bouncing stuff off of him. But
well, you'd
I don't
think they'd keep Jackson in the loop.
No kidding. I mean,
duh.
I can't imagine anybody doing a better version than he did.
You know, wow.
But,
yeah.
You know, Warner Brothers, it's a $3 billion franchise. That was just Lord of the Rings. And then The Hobbits was another $3 billion.
I know.
They're going to milk it.
Jason Momoa, you know, he is saying, no, I'm going to be in the DC Universe for sure, probably as another character. And what will actually happen into Aquaman? You know, everything has just been stirred up in the DC Universe.
And that's coming out at Christmas time, right?
Right. And so, anyway, he said that it's going to be probably Lobo. So that will be, he will not, oh, a little confusing here. But with all of the problems that are going on within the universe, Jeff Snyder has said that the main reason for other avenues is because we want to keep Momoa. But it may not be. There's going to be another Aquaman, but probably not a trilogy.
Oh, boy.
And then that he will come back as Lobo. James Gunn and Peter Safran, of course, have just, you know, turned everything inside out. Safran hinted that the star would not appear in a dual role. So it'll be one or the other. And everybody's, you know, betting right now on Lobo.
Are you excited about Thunderbolts? Do you know anything about
it? No.
Me either.
No.
And it's the Marvel big whoop thing that's coming up next year. But it stars all the people like
Stone Nose.
You know him.
You know.
But
okay.
It's all like the outcasts, like the Florence Pugh from Black Widow.
Right, right.
Sebastian Stan. David Harbour, who was the Red Knight or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's all these offshoot. It's like the anti-Avengers. But they've added Steve Young, who was the guy in Nope.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be we don't know what he's going to play, but it's Marvel's Thunderbolts, and they're starting to film this summer, and it'll be released in the summer of 2024.
I still wish I'd liked Nope better.
I wish you had too.
It's
weird.
It is weird.
And I don't like the alien thing at the end, but the rest of it was pretty good.
Okay. Well, there you have the movie news here at KSL News Radio on the infamous movie show.
The movie show.
It is not a donut hole, but a smaller donut with its own hole. And our donut is not a hole at all.
On KSL News Radio.
Ooh. Oops. Did I hear the word donut?
Oh, did I miss that?
I know. Squirrel. Okay. All right. We've been doing a very fine whine off the air here about, you know.
Well, the intricacies of hearing.
Well, it's hearing issues, of course. We'll talk more with Matt about some of these
issues. We'll whine in a moment.
We happen to have the expert right here with us, but I'll tell you, Stephen, we need to review one of them. How about if we do one of the streaming movies here?
Oh,
or
yes.
You can bring us up to date.
Okay.
Outer Banks. I'm really looking forward to Outer Banks. It's season 3. And for we mere mortals that actually have to wait until it drops, and the weird way, often they drop one episode at a time. But, you know, Outer Banks, how is season 3 so far? Because you've seen how many? Six?
Six episodes of the new season. I think there are 8 or 9. I think, yeah, I have 7, 8, and 9 left. Last we saw the Pogues, and these are the down and out.
Right.
But the fun kids, you know, from the Outer Banks, they got on that ship that had the cross.
Oh, yeah.
So this is for people who haven't seen the show, like my daughter goes, what is this? They end up getting off that ship, and they're stuck on a deserted island. And they're there for quite a while, like a month or so, until a plane flies, you know, and then they get rescued, and they go back to Outer Banks. But first they go to Barbados, and they're trying to track the cross. They think that the old man Ward, you know, the evil guy that got all the gold,
yeah,
that he's dead, and but he's not. And his idiot son, Rafe, you remember him? Yeah. He's a crazy kid.
For somebody who's not seen this, they're going, what is this?
Basically, this is a bunch of cool kids that are kind of like the Hardy Boys. But
I was just going to say, this is like the Hardy Boys,
yeah,
looking for the gold in the tower.
And it's a mystery, and they're getting in trouble and out of trouble. It's fun. I've enjoyed. Season 3 is probably a little bit more convenient, how everything sort of happens out of...
Yeah.
It's not probably as good as... we'll see how the last three episodes pan out, but I'm getting a kick out of... I just couldn't wait to watch the darn thing.
Yeah.
Because I really like the characters.
Yeah, Dee and I really liked, you know, Outer Banks. And we've waited a long time now. It seems like forever.
We have, yes.
How long has it been since Season 2?
I think it's been maybe a year and a half.
Year and a half, yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. So it's Outer Banks Season 3, and it officially drops today. And they're doing it episodic, right? Is it one a week?
Actually, I don't know if they do that. I'll have to check.
Yeah.
I'm not sure either. I can watch it because, you know,
Because you're a mahon.
No, I just got the regular.
Oh, you got the regular. But you got an early drop on it.
It's either three episodes at first, and then they drop one a week.
Right.
I'll double check that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everyone does it differently.
Yeah.
You know, so, okay. All right. So there you have it.
Help me.
It's the Outer Banks Season 3 here on the movie show. We have a lot more to talk about. We're going to talk about the Jesus Revolution. We're going to talk about a little.
You know, they're getting better at making those, I think.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, that I thought it was an interesting movie. I enjoyed it because it kind of goes back into a time frame that I was kind of there.
Yeah, those late 60s.
Oh, yeah. You know, kind of, and all those songs, Jesus is just all right with me.
Oh, the
and
soundtrack.
The soundtrack is amazing. And, I mean, I can remember sitting there at, you know, KRSP and KCPX and everything else playing all the songs that they're playing. And
yeah.
I'm going, wow. You know, and you kind of forget how much of a Jesus movement within the hippie and, you know, kind of the counterculture movement there was as well that was even embraced by Billy Graham, for heaven's sake.
Oh, and the pushback that the regular parishioners had.
There's a classic scene. Well, we'll talk about it more in a little.
It's the world-famous KSL Movie Show on KSL News Radio.
Oh, I like the La La Land music there in the background.
Yeah, nice stuff.
Yeah, nice stuff. Hey, we always
can ask Tori if Turn the Page is opening this week because I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. You know, every week we like to have a special guest on who has something to do with the movie business in one way or the other. You know, often.
Why do you say it like it's the old business?
Well, the movie business. Mm. You know, just the way we do it here on the movie show. It's artsy.
Sure.
Sure, keep telling myself that, right? Tori Baker is joining us right now, and we love having Tori on the program, President, CEO of the Salt Lake Film Society. And Tori, welcome to the movie show. And as Steve mentioned, first question out of the chute, and there's so much more to talk about with, you know, Black History Month underway and black film and so on that we're going to talk about. But Turn Every Page, are you guys going to be showing that?
You know, I don't think I have it on the list. Because I'm packed with repertory titles this month and Oscar nominees. So, you know, kind of trying to finish giving everybody a chance to see anything that's up for an award. So,
absolutely. No, totally get it. But give us a heads up on that if you end up showing that at the Broadway,
The problem is Sony Pictures Classics keeps insisting that you are showing it. And like, I don't think they are. No, that can't be true.
So who's in charge here, Sony Classic Pictures or you?
Right. That's a good question.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we've got to talk about this because we're almost through with February, and it's a great month and to focus on, you know, black history. And your film series that began on February 3rd, it's continuing on. There's still a chance to see Till and Judas and the Black Messiah. So, I mean, how do we make sure that we can hit these films?
Yeah, so that program was awesome. It was really programmed by Saida Russell, who is out of Sundance, and she did a great job doing Afrofuturism, musicals, contemporary black directors. So this is our Contemporary Black Directors Weekend. So you can see Till on Friday and Judas and the Black Messiah on Saturday. And we did show Judas and the Black Messiah at the drive-in when we had the drive-in, and it's such a fantastic film. So if you haven't seen either of those, please do try to make it out this weekend.
And boy, earlier in the month, you know, this is kind of like rubbing salt in the wound if people didn't have a chance to see these movies. But you got to tell us the other films that were featured. I'm familiar with, I think, all of them except one.
Oh, yeah. We had School Days and our musicals, which was very fun, and The Wiz. And then for Afrofuturism, we actually played the original Black Panther, as well as Neptune Frost, which is still actually available on slfsathome.org if you're interested in seeing that.
Right. And then Eve's Bayou, I understand. Is that right, on the 17th?
Yeah, in our Gothic and Horror Weekend, we showed Eve's Bayou, which is a Casey Lemons film that is really lovely to see on the big screen.
Now, for those who want to catch Till, which is, by the way, a wonderful movie.
What a performance by that young woman.
Just incredible. And the young man who played Emmett Till. Oh, my goodness. I mean, boy, talk about, you know, I read the book years ago, and I interviewed some of the people, you know, along with the book. But what a chilling, heartbreaking story.
And I'm glad they didn't sugarcoat it.
Yeah. Oh, boy, they did not sugarcoat that. But for people that want to see Till on a big screen, that's happening today. And then Judas and the Black Messiah tomorrow. Right.
Yeah, that's correct. Until we opened Till when it was released, but not a lot of people came. It's one of these films that really didn't have a big marketing muscle behind it, even though it had a lot of buzz, and they were really trying to do educational screenings at schools and other things, and that was their focus. So I think a lot of people missed it. So please do come out if you get a chance tonight.
Right. So how do people get their tickets? And it'll be at the Broadway, obviously.
It will. It will be at the Broadway. They get them at SLFSTIX, so SLFSTIX.org.
We got to talk about some of the other things that are coming up with the Film Society, and tell us what's on the docket.
Yeah, so we've got two repertory programs coming up. So next month will be Killer Cars and Joyrides.
Ooh.
So we will be a lot of Steve McQueen, I will say.
Right.
I can see Bullet, Christine.
Like, yep, exactly. Bullet. We will be doing Vanishing Point, Duel, Italian Job, The Driver, and some real great pair-up of Grand Prix and Le Mans. So take a look on slfstix.org for that lineup as it starts to pop up. But again, kind of like the Presenting Black Cinema, these will be every Friday and Saturday night. So you get one shot to see these movies. So if Tulane Blacktop is the film you want to see with James Taylor, then you need to go on that one Friday. So
every time anybody mentions Grand Prix to me, I was just a little kid, and we went and saw it at the Villa Theater. It was in Cinerama.
Yeah.
We were sitting on the front row.
No.
And I'm not kidding you.
And he went blind that day.
I'm not prone to, you know, car sickness or seasickness and stuff, but I was just going.
Well, it's just so much action in your face.
Yeah, it is amazing.
Great.
Hey, we got to talk about what's coming up. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Oh, they just said in that film that the Formula 3 cars were really what they used, but they dressed them up to look like Formula 1 cars. So
really?
Now that you know it, you won't unsee it when you watch the movie.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Remember James Garner in that?
Oh, yeah.
And I could never pronounce the guy's name. We used to call him Yves Montfrog. It was just amazing stuff in that. You got to talk about what's coming up, Music May.
Music May. So we have John Doe, who's actually in the film Decline of Western Civilization, I believe part two, kind of a punk, you know, star and has a following, and he's going to be programming Music May. So I don't know what the films are yet. I've seen a long list of like 25 films, and we'll get it down to the eight films that we need to fill up May, but it should be really great. So keep an eye on us at all of our social media channels for that.
No, that sounds great. And remind everybody the website so people can get the lowdown and tickets and
sure.
Everything else.
Yeah, SLFS, standing for Salt Lake Film Society, of course, slfstix.org.
Now, of course, we got to ask, how are things at the Tower?
I knew you guys would ask that.
Yeah,
they're going
like
great.
So
listen,
sick.
we've we've winterized and, you know, shorted up, thank goodness, before this giant storm.
Yeah.
And then we are actually moving into visioning phase. So, you know, share your ideas on what the vision for the tower in the future is.
Wow.
Bring back the turrets.
Yeah, bring back the turrets for
All
sure.
Right.
All right.
Note
there
taken.
You have it. Hey, Tori, keep us in the loop on everything you're doing, though. You do some cool stuff, and we love the Broadway and, of course, look forward to the day when we can enjoy the tower again.
Yeah, sure thing.
All right. Thanks, Tori.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Thank you, guys.
Tori Baker with us. She's the big kahuna, the CEO.
I don't think I described her as not turrets. There's something else.
No, they're like castle turrets on each side. And, that's what it was designed to look for, like kind of like the Tower of London thing. You know?
It was cool.
Yeah, no, it was very cool. Very cool.
Movie show on KSL News Radio.
The movie show.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
On KSL News Radio.
Wow, kind of putting us in the spirit for next week.
I was just going to say, he's not in it.
No. Although, you know, he's a producer or something. I can't remember. But you see him in the credits. Not him, but his name in the credits. So Creed 3 next
moved
week.
On.
We'll be we'll be talking about.
Well, then,
about.
Of course, Jonathan Majors, who is now becoming a big star in a lot of movies these days.
So, anyway, we'll be talking about that next week. Stephen.
Yes.
How about if we talk about, how about the movie Emily?
Oh, yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. A little sound for Emily.
Did you write these?
It's an ugly book.
There's something ungodly in your writing. I feel it when we're together.
You know, they call you the strange one.
Everyone's strange if you look at them for long enough.
Ooh.
Yeah, I did not really know Emily Bronte's story, the Wuthering Heights author. She grew up in this very small village. She was kind of the odd duck of the family, sort of like the Wednesday Addams. And it's funny because her look... She's dark hair, dark eyes, and she just kind of observes the world around her.
Yeah.
Her father is like, I don't know what to do with this girl. Charlotte is the darling of the family, Charlotte Bronte. But she's her sister goes, you know what they call you in the village, don't you?
No, what?
The strange one.
The strange one.
And so she's just sort of watching people, and she doesn't really participate in stuff. She's, plays piano beautifully. And she has this crazy, her brother, Bramwell, is just hilarious. And she hangs out with him a lot because he's so adventurous.
He's kind of the Pugsley.
Yeah, except that he's a little bit more roguish and a little older and always getting her in trouble. And
they seem to have a good time. And then there's this new pastor that moves into the neighborhood. He's kind of a pompous dude, and you know he starts teaching her. Her dad wants her to learn French, so he becomes her tutor. It's kind of got that, you know, Pride and Prejudice sort of feel to it.
Yeah.
It does get a little sassy.
Really?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. You know, she and this new pastor sort of hit it off, and like there's a moment they're like, "Ooh, okay, we're not in in Victorian
anymore.
England anymore." So there's a little bit of that, but it's just kind of a sweet movie.
Okay.
I really enjoyed this film.
So where and how do we see this?
We see this at a theater near you.
Theater.
Actually, hold on. Broadway's.
Broadway.
Century 16. Century 24, Jordan Landing. Those are the three that I know of. I think there's also one in Provo area. So it's limited release. B+ is rated R, and it's called Emily.
Emily. Sounds intriguing.
Yeah. If you're really a Bronte fan, you'll get a kick out of it.
Still to come on the movie show, we have a bunch of stuff for you. We're going to talk about the Jesus Revolution. That's the movie that is out. And, I mean, Kelsey Grammer is in that movie. And so what else have we got? Oh, Dee will be joining us here in a half hour. And she'll be talking about her quirky picks. We've got the movie show Top 10, which is sponsored by Call Climate Services.
And don't forget, we have also We Have a Ghost on Netflix. We'll be out.
That's right.
And you're going to love this one.
The Reluctant Traveler.
With Eugene Levy literally going, I don't want to go anywhere. Don't make me go to Venice and Utah and... In Finland, he goes, I don't like cold. Why are they doing this to me? Can you imagine Eugene Levy being the reluctant traveler? It's actually kind of brilliant.
Wow. Okay.
Planning on a weekend on the couch? Streaming your favorite movie or a new show? Doug and Steve sort through it all so you only binge the best. It's the Movie Show Streaming Reviews on KSL News Radio.
Well, speaking of a binger, you've gulped down six episodes of, you know, I was going to say Outer Banks.
It is.
Yeah, there you go.
And I've also gulped down five or six episodes of the new The Reluctant Traveler.
Yeah. You know, Dee and I, we were gulping down a few, too. You do get hooked on it, and especially when they're the one-hour episodes. And
yeah.
You just, you know, and they're and really like 50
minutes. That's the problem with
minutes.
The Traveler. It's only 30 minutes.
Wow.
You can't do a... You can't go to Utah and do 30 minutes.
I know. What are they thinking of?
Have you heard of Armengary, by the way?
No.
It's like a special resort down in southern Utah that's so exclusive. It's so off the beaten path.
That we don't know about.
Only a few in the world. And it's like a super exclusive sort of place. I don't know if it's down by Boulder or where exactly, but... that's one of the places he visited.
I'll have to ask Patrice Arendt because, you know, she's very familiar with that area. They have a little, you know, place
I might be
there.
Off a little bit, but it's definitely down that direction.
Okay.
Anyway, we'll talk about it.
So elite that even the movie show doesn't know about it.
Well, that's not a shocker.
Yeah, I almost said that with a
Where's
straight
face.
Where's
the Cracker Barrel?
Tulsa King. You know, the Martin Starr is giving a cautious update on the status of season two.
Mm.
And Stallone, this has really been a hit. It really has. And Tulsa King, surprise breakout hit for Paramount Plus. It was announced last November that Stallone would be returning for season two. And everybody's wondering, based on the, you know, cliffhanger ending, what is it going to be? A prison movie or what is it going to be? And nobody's kind of spilling the beans.
He said it's so much work. He didn't know if he wanted to do another season.
So anyway, we don't know when Tulsa King season two will actually premiere, but... one left everything in a huge cliffhanger, and you know, who knows? Did you also see on Yellowstone that now they're debating whether it's going to pick up in the early summer or whether they're going to postpone it till November?
Oh, I hadn't read that.
Yeah, I just caught it, you know, kind of out of the corner of my eye when I was surfing everything late last night, getting some of this information. Gustavo does the lion's share of this work, but I saw that and I went, wow, are we going to really have to wait till November?
Ooh.
That ain't right.
No.
And then you hear rumblings about Costner and,
but his attorney came out and said, that's not true. He's going to be fine.
And, you know, and then some people are trying to make a big deal. I actually saw the word feud being used. And you go, oh, good grief.
That
you
sounds like a media hype
thing. It does. It sounds like tabloid clickbait to me. But, you know, anyway. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, so to speak.
Outer Banks star Chase Stokes, who plays John B. He's like one of the main guys.
Right.
I did not know this, but he almost got the part of Steve on Stranger Things.
Really?
That Joe Carey's part?
Yeah.
He went to the audition. He botched the lines miserably.
Yeah.
And he like forgot what he was doing. I mean, it was horrifying. He drove all the way home going, what was I thinking?
Yeah.
I could have been Steve on Stranger Things. But, you know, fortunately for us, he got to be on Outer Banks. But, he completely botched his lines. And so Joe Keery got the part. And what a name, Chase Stokes.
Chase Stokes.
I must be an actor.
You know, you and I and Dee, big fans of Poker Face. And but a lot of people are kind of surprised that Peacock is submitting the Poker Face for Emmy Awards in the comedy category. Now, it has humorous moments.
Well, it is funny.
It is funny. But most people, you know, it's more of a detective thing. But,
yeah, it's a mystery.
Yeah, you know, that's causing some people to say, oh, what's the deal with this? But anyway, Poker Face, if it wins Emmys, it is going to be in the comedy category. And the first season of Poker Face concludes on March 9th. Dee and I, last night, I particularly just kind of ran out of gas. We were almost caught up. But you mentioned...
You just finished the race one. That was the last
right.
one.
And off the air, we were talking about Nick Nolte. You almost need, you know, subtitles.
What did he say?
For his character. But we're halfway through on that one, so...
Oh, yeah, that's good. I've enjoyed it. It's almost like watching Columbo, only more hair.
Yeah, more hair, more snark.
HBO Max has ordered a new It prequel series.
It?
Yes, it's going to be called Welcome to Derry. And Andy Muschietti, or whatever his name is, he did the two It's that we've seen lately. He's going to direct several of the episodes, and Stephen King is thrilled.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. Well, if the maestro's on board.
I know. You know how he normally kind of poo-poos every movie that's made out of his books.
Yeah.
He's kind of on board with the last little It iteration, and now with the series on HBO Max.
Yeah. Jon Favreau. You know, I have learned to just so appreciate, and when you talk genius, you know, you're usually kind of Spielbergish and so on, but he has a genius. He really does.
He gets audiences.
He does. He gets, and he makes things for real people, and as an actor, he's great. I loved him in Chef and the things that he creates, and I think it took a long time for it to dawn on even those of us that kind of watch the industry and just how engaged and how gifted he is in every category you can imagine, right. Whether it's directing or writing, producing, acting, you name it, and the respect for Favreau. Because when you see him on the screen, he can be kind of a dork, you know?
Well, his name's Happy on
Iron
Man.
And you see him in all the different roles where he's kind of a sidekick, you know, lumbering along.
Or The Replacements. He was a defensive crazy guy.
Right. But anyway, Favreau revealed in this article how Marvel's interconnectivity influenced his approach to The Mandalorian and other things. He said Marvel actually kind of opened up what could be done with Star Wars, too.
Right.
And go into the deeper and focus on particular characters and so on. And according to Favreau, he said, you know, basically what... builds a successful franchise is in creating a rich and interconnected universe that keeps the fans engaged. And he said, if you do it right, it can get quite complex. I mean, think of Harry Potter and how for young kids, you know, it was David McCullough who pointed that out. I'd never really thought of it. He said, you know, I love these books because, first of all, you know, you don't have to have a small book. It doesn't have to be under 300 pages for anybody to read it, adults or kids. And it can make people stretch and reach. And so Favreau kind of says the same thing. I thought it was really cool.
Well, speaking of which, get ready for Mandalorian coming back on Wednesday. So
yeah.
I'm kind of excited about it.
Every time you say Mandalorian, I want to go. Just clap.
Oh, that's right. You have the Baby Yoda.
I have the Baby Yoda clapper. Thanks to you and Christmas time.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about. But it says
either that or Darth
Vader. If you do it three times, it'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Darth talks to me, too.
Does he?
and my dog. You ought to hear what my dog says to me. So does that...
Can I mention one other thing? The dog in in Cocaine Bear?
Yeah.
Doesn't he look like a dog float?
No. It looks like
he has no legs and just hair going down the road.
Here you have this cop who was hoping for a lab, and he gets this little fluff. It looks like something.
Rosette.
It looks like Zsa Zsa Gabor would
exactly hold, with a little pink, know, with
or,
the pink
or
ribbon.
Paris Hilton would have it over her. And you go, oh my goodness.
I call it a dog float.
I know it does. You don't see its feet moving; it just glides.
Yeah. That cracked me up. I got a kick out of Cocaine Bear. I'm sorry.
I know we're back on Cocaine Bear. Even the dog is funny in this movie.
Yeah.
And man. How that bear can kind of look so happily crazed.
Did you see how they did it?
And then just dripping with blood and snarling.
They have
a
guy in the, like, you know, how they shot Andy Serkis.
Right.
And he's got a snout and everything. So he actually, you know, does the acting. That one where Arden gets flattened by he says, the dude's laying on top of me. And he's like, get off of me.
You know, there are two scenes. One where the dude is under the door with the bear on top.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the other is the bear is so wasted, he just goes right over
out.
And just blop, goes right down on
this
guy. And
they're going, are you okay under there? He goes, what do you think?
Okay, we're back at Cocaine Bear. That's the kind of movie it is. You just can't believe what you're seeing. You can't believe, one, that it's happening. Two, that you're laughing at that kind of gore and guts and blood.
I know. I'm crazy. Almost embarrassed how happy I was with that movie.
How happy Steve was.
I was just worried that I had lost my sick mojo.
I know. With
Violent Night. I just couldn't do it.
I know.
Santa Club and people with a sledgehammer.
But now Steve is back in his gory little happy place.
Yes. Bring me blood. Bring me bears.
Death and destruction.
The Movie Show.
Spock, you haven't changed a bit. You're just as warm and sociable as ever.
No, have you, Doctor? As your continued predilection for irrelevancy demonstrates.
On KSL News Radio.
Okay, here on the Movie Show, we like to cover what's in the theaters, but also cool things that are streaming as well. We've talked about Outer Banks Season 3, but what about We Have a Ghost?
Let's hear some sound.
Okay, here we go.
We're all here trying to get a fresh start.
Nothing like bad happened here, right?
You moved into the house of death. Everyone says it's haunted.
No, wait. Don't go!
We have a ghost.
Okay.
No, I'm serious, Kevin. Caught him on camera. Oh, we gotta show mom.
No.
Okay.
So, this family move. Oh, the opening scene is you see the house from a distance, and all of a sudden people come out screaming, jump in their cars, and the door slams, and the light goes off.
You're That's
like,
a bad
okay,
sign.
What's going on here? Then this new family, like a year later, move in, and it's Anthony Mackie and his family. They got the teenage brooding son. He's like,
of course.
And they go in, and it's an old house, and they're looking through it, and the kid goes up in the attic. And this ghost comes out wearing a bowling shirt and a comb over, and it's David Harbour from Stranger Things. And he's like, and the kid starts laughing.
Yeah, right.
Remember Eddie Murphy was like, get out. Oh, gotta go.
Yeah.
This kid's like, absolutely. He starts laughing and then he goes, no, wait, don't leave. I want to talk to you. And the guy's like, no, I don't want you to hear, you know, go away. Actually, he doesn't talk at all. He's just like, that didn't work. So the family decides that this is a great social media opportunity that they can make money on. And dad's not doing well financially and whatever. So basically this becomes, at first it looks funny. There's a moment with, what's her name? Oh, shoot. I can't think of her name. But anyway, she's a medium pretending to be a medium, and he just freaks her out. But it becomes a mystery. So what you're seeing in the trailer, it looks funny, but it's only funny to a point. And then it becomes a very serious murder mystery that the kids are trying to help solve.
And this is a one-shotter, or is this a series?
No, this is just one movie, and it is called We Have a Ghost. It's rated PG-13. It is on Netflix, and it does drag a bit in the middle, but so far, it's pretty good.
All right. We have a ghost.
The Movie Show. Quirky pick of the week.
Tick, tick, boom. Do you have
it? We're on the air.
Oops.
D's over there just, hey, do you have a t-shirt like this?
Tick, tick, boom.
Actually, I did get that.
I'm thinking Steve and I have matching sweatshirts we should wear together.
Oh, if I had told me, I would have.
Well, you know, that's actually my
Well, who said? Who opened it?
Well, when it comes to our house,
maybe you should check with the post office on that.
Any package that comes, you know, is automatically D's.
Well, I have to vet it and then determine
vet it.
Which
I
direction
like that.
It will go, yeah, me or you.
She's security.
Yeah, that's right. She's house security.
Looks way cuter on me, so there's that. Uh-huh.
So when the real ticking thing comes, or the weird thing when you open it up and it's, you know, anthrax, you're going to be on the cutting edge.
That's me. I'm here to save you.
That ought to be. I can't. Please take a video of that moment.
Steve had so many wonderful things he wanted to say there, I'm sure. Well, what do you have for us, Dan?
Well, you know, it's the end of February, and I have noticed that there have been a lot of rom-com movies on. Don't you think a plethora?
Well,
good
Valentine-y...
grief, you haven't driven that word to death today.
Plethora.
But plethora, yes.
You have to say it right, though. Plethora.
No, forget it. I'm sick of hearing it. Anyway. yeah, a lot of Valentine-y, a lot of love, a lot of let's get it together. So I'm going to wrap it up with a couple of love movies that I don't know why I've just been watching them the last few weeks. But last night or yesterday, I watched one that I like a lot for some reasons, and in some ways I think it missed
the mark. Please don't say Shotgun Wedding.
No, but no. I did watch that, yes. Yeah. Now, this is from 2009, The Proposal. Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And Sandra Bullock. Yeah. And I think Ryan Reynolds and Betty White are the reasons to watch this. Not necessarily Sandra Bullock. I did not think the chemistry was great between the
two of them. That's when she started turning to the dark side. Have you noticed?
Well, she was mean for most of that movie.
Well, where did they ever connect? You know, I mean, where was that moment where you went, oh, now I see what he sees in her. I never saw what he saw.
I think
her.
He covered for her when she tried to give the dog to the eagle.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, that's true. Ryan Reynolds at this point in 2009 was 21 years old. Guess how old Sandra Bullock was?
63.
That's not even close. Invert that, actually. 37.
Wow.
She was 37. And I was just I read a little bit because I always do a tiny bit of research, believe it or not. They started dating after that.
You're trying
that.
To ruin the reputation of this
I know,
show.
I hate to tip my hand on that. But anyway.
Look at you, gossip queen.
Well, so they started dating a little bit after that. I guess they became friends. But I just think great cast. Honestly, it's worth it. Betty Reynolds, Mary Steed Merchant, Craig T.
Nelson.
Yeah. Oscar Nunez.
From The Office.
And then Malin Ackerman plays the old girlfriend, and I bring her up because she was fine in it, but we watched a show with her the other night that we got a screener on.
Donor Party.
Donor Party. Did you get that screener?
Oh, I don't watch dirty movies.
I didn't know it was going to be a dirty movie, but it kind of was.
I couldn't even say that with a straight face.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, don't go there. I don't know where it's going to show, but I would avoid it.
Or if it should show.
But she's kind of cute. I mean, she was okay.
Oh, she's beautiful. Yeah.
But anyway, and Sandra Bullock, what great movie she's been in during her real sweet period, Miss Congeniality.
I'm such
Speed,
a big fan of hers.
While you were sleeping.
I had a little Hollywood crush on her for a while, and, you know, you know, Dee was over there talking about, you know, if Mel Gibson ever knocks on the door, it's goodbye you. And, you know, I'm over there kind of going, well, you know, Sandra Bullock is a sweet,
Hope Floats. One of my favorite movies, Hope Floats.
Yeah.
But I really liked her in Demolition Man. Do you remember how all the restaurants in that world were called what? Remember? Taco Bell.
Oh, Taco Bell.
Taco Bell.
That's right. They all had
the fine dining.
That's right. They all had the name Taco Bell.
When the president guy goes, yes, tonight we'll take you to Taco Bell. They won. Remember that? They won the franchise wars.
The only thing I remember from that movie was you got a ticket for cursing. And then if you got in a wreck, styrofoam would fill your car and you wouldn't get hurt. Like, oh, that's a pretty cool idea.
It was kind of fun, that alternate universe. Anyway, the Sandra Bullock and that movie, I think, you know, definitely worth seeing. The Proposal, we just pulled it off of whatever was streaming.
I did like her kind of in that we're shifting into the dark mode when she was with Hugh Grant, 2 weeks notice. I thought she was great.
I liked that too. That was her becoming a little edgy.
Well, even like a serious film. Was it 28 Days where she was?
She's had some heavy ones. Yeah.
I think she's
a good actress. But maybe we just don't like some of her choices.
I think it was Ocean's 8. Everybody around her was really working hard, and I felt that she just phoned it in.
Yeah. That was too bad.
Well, the other couple of movies that I watched that to end this month of love.
love.
Amazon, and I guess it dropped in November, but I just happened to roll across it recently. And I don't know if I watch this with you or Katie? The People We Hate at the Wedding.
Oh, I watched that.
Yeah. Did you happen to see it?
I didn't.
Kristen
this is the
Bell,
one with,
Ben Platt.
Yep.
Allison Janney, my hero.
Jenny, that's
yeah, my
right.
hero. And Dustin Milligan from Schitt's Creek.
Oh,
there
she just loves saying the name
right.
of that
see,
show.
I mentioned Eugene Levy like 14 times today, and you have to throw out.
I know. Well, he was the cute veterinarian, Tim, that Alex Rose was in love with. And
oh,
so
yeah.
He's the
yeah,
romantic,
that's right.
He's the romantic lead in this. And it's, you know, it's a little bit hard-hitting on why they hate these people at the wedding, but it comes around. I think it's sweet,
yeah.
don't you?
I like the movie.
It's
I didn't
a
love
Netflix,
it, but,
the yeah. people
I
you hate at the
read,
wedding.
I heard some, like, kind of half- Yeah. Mediocre.
Yeah,
reviews.
It was. But, you know, if you're looking for a little rom-com movie, it was kind of, it kind of came around. You didn't understand why they hated some of the people as much, and they brought it home. And then the other one I rolled past, I think I watched this with Katie, that was a little interesting. 2020, oh, no, The People You Hate at the Wedding was Amazon. This one is Netflix, Love, Wedding, Repeat. It was 2020. And so this was Olivia Munn. Frida Pinto. It was about a brother trying to help his sister have a good wedding and the conflicts that ensued. But the interesting thing about it was they get to this point and then they do alternate endings.
Oh, whereas, I think I've seen this movie.
Yeah, well, it's 2020 and it was out on Netflix. I didn't see it when it came out.
Huh.
But it was kind of interesting how it you know, it was disastrous in many ways, and they were doing kind of stupid, mean things, you know, slipping Mickeys to people and stuff like that. But when one person drank it or another thing happened, then it turned out better or it turned out worse. Anyway, that made it kind of interesting. That's yeah. Love, Wedding, Repeat. All of these are a little edgy with the grammar, with the
oh boy,
expletives
the,
deleted.
Yeah.
You know, I got to give that.
That's
language.
Why I was kind of hesitant about Emily. It's beautiful, but there's a love scene in a like a barn kind of thing where there's a little nudity involved. And I thought it was kind of weird in a movie that's like a Sense and Sensibility
yeah.
to have
yeah.
that kind of a, like an intense.
Was this more of an art film, though? Was it
actually,
indie?
It feels like a Sense and Sensibility movie.
Oh, it does,
yeah.
huh?
Okay. Everything about it is just, yeah. you know, very upstanding British. And
except for
her. She's a little, yeah. you know, out there. But you kind of appreciate her sense of
Where
adventure.
Where is that playing? Is that streaming or playing?
No, it's playing.
I would
Those
like
were
to
mostly
see that.
At Century, weren't they?
Well, yeah, Century, the Landing, 16 down in South Salt Lake, the Broadway. I'm sure it's in other places, but those are the ones that I have.
Well, that fits into the Month of Love movies, doesn't it?
Yeah. It kind of does.
It
okay.
does.
Well, there we go. Next month, I won't talk about any more rom-coms fun.
What would be your theme?
Loving, just probably brutality.
It'll
and
be St. Patrick's.
That's St. Patrick's, Darby O'Gill and the Little People.
Probably not going to run out and see Cocaine Bear, I'm guessing.
I did
oh,
not
man.
Choose to see that. I said to Doug what I liked, and he goes, nah, you would have hated it.
Yeah, well, and especially, you know.
Cubs in danger.
Oh,
well,
the
there's a lot of things in danger.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, gazillions of people can die, but if an animal is in
That's
peril.
That's right. That's the rule.
If an animal That's is in rule. Peril, we're in big trouble.
Yeah. That's it. Well, we'll think of something for next month. It'll be fun, I'm sure.
And pertinent.
No, never pertinent.
That's right. This is the movie show.
Just vital.
I forgot for a moment.
That's right.
Good to see you, Dee.
It's good to see you. See you later.
All right. What's that?
You do all live
yeah,
together.
We see you, KSL.
Oh, okay.
10, 9.
The KSL Movie Show. Top 10.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Wow. Did you hear a little goat bleat there at the end?
No.
Well, you know.
Did you step on the goat?
Well, you can hear him. Listen, crank it way up, Gustavo. Yeah, see, did you
oh,
hear
there
him in the
he
background?
Is.
There's the
wandering little sheep
in the background. Okay, it is time for the Movie Show Top 10, and here we go. Are you ready for this? Number 10 is A Man Called Otto. And overall, you know, for its 8 weeks, I mean, it's been in the top 10 for 8 weeks. So people are going to see this movie, and it's just been the little engine that could. It still isn't killing it. I mean, in the old days, a blockbuster was $100 million.
Well, it just went over that.
So, well.
Worldwide.
Yeah, worldwide, but locally. And, you know, back in the old days, we didn't count the foreigners. You know,
it's part of the deal now.
We only counted America, North America.
40% of its harvest is coming from foreigners.
But they have about $61 million, A Man Called Otto. I like that movie a lot.
Yeah, watch the Swedish one.
Missing. I also like this movie a lot. It kind of caught me a little bit off guard. But again, it's right around $30 million domestically. International numbers?
Oh, it's huge. 14,000.
14,000.
And that's dollars.
Imagine. Yeah.
Lira.
Well, I'm glad it weren't pesos or euros or something.
Well, euros would be pretty
euros
good.
Or, we could have the Greek constituency could come over and just wolf them all down.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Don't you know what a euro is?
Yeah, of course I do. Oh, that euro. I was thinking of euro.
No, euros.
Oh, yeah, I love euros.
Me too. Marlo. I still have not seen Marlo, and it's crashing and burning. It's made $3 million.
Have you seen an ad for this movie anywhere?
No.
None.
I don't know.
Is it Liam Neeson? Well, Marlo, it's got to go.
Okay, it's got to go. Titanic, in its rebirth here, has come back and made about $13 million domestically. Is that an international release or just locally?
No, it's another. I mean, come on. It's Titanic. It's been 25 years. 13 domestic, 39 foreign, $52 million.
Can you imagine that, having a movie in your hip pocket that you've already made a killing on? And you go, well, I won't make a little more. So you make another $50 million just by releasing it.
Okay, here's the cool part.
Yeah.
Even though with this new additional numbers, Avatar has passed it by about $1 million.
Wow.
And so it's kind of like, well.
But keep still, cashing in.
I mean, come on.
I know.
That's ridiculous.
80 for Brady. It's been out 3 weeks now, $33 million. I was really hard on this movie, and I thought it deserved it. But other folks have liked it more than I did, Stephen.
I didn't care for it either, and it has not been released in the foreign box office.
Knock at the Cabin. This is a strange movie, and I've thought a lot about it, and some of the performances in it were really quite chilling and riveting, but there was just something. This is M. Night Shyamalan, and there's something about this movie that was just off for me.
I think it's supposed to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, and uncomfortable is one thing, but I don't know, just didn't quite gel.
Well, this problem is the spirit of the book or whatever it was based on isn't even close to what came out on the screen, and that's wrong.
Yeah, I didn't read the book, so I have nothing to compare it to.
I cheated, and I looked on Wikipedia.
Ah, okay. Puss in Boots. Now, here's a movie we can all come to grips with and agree on. Puss in Boots, The Last Wish. I mean, when Puss in Boots is down, he's got 9 lives. He's used up 8 of them. So what do you do?
He definitely lost count.
You just be kind of, just sit back in the old cat retirement home. And
That's my favorite part of
this.
This
is how dignity dies. But it is truly funny. And then the Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and then
Little Jack Horner.
Little Jack Horner. I was going the guy with the thing on his
actually, side. Big Jack Horner.
Yeah,
now.
Big Jack Horner, and it is
voiced by John Mulaney, who is also hilarious.
It is a hilarious movie.
This thing has made 168 domestic, 257 foreign. We're at 425.
Wow. And it deserves it. It really does. Then there's this movie.
One that doesn't deserve it.
Magic Mike's Last Dance. And I hope after it's 2 weeks and a roaring about $18, $19 million domestically, I hope that it really is Mike's Last Dance.
Well, I mean, you can't fault the athleticism of this film. These dancers were extraordinary. But you can fault them? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, well, you can fault
them. And Selma Hayek is stunning.
She is stunning in the movie, but where is the... I mean, it is ridiculous. And I love it, too.
Well, the fact that you haven't seen the other ones, this is pretty tame compared to those.
But I've seen bits of them, because, I'm the walkout king of the cadre of critics here, but... I just went, oh, man, are you kidding me? And you mentioned the uncomfortable watch you had with your daughter.
Oh, the first one?
Oh, man.
Yeah, she would never see another one.
Yeah, that's right, Dad. You're
and
done.
I wouldn't take her.
Okay, then we move to Avatar, The Way of Water. And this is, what, about $658, $59 million domestic?
Oh, no, $660 domestic, $1.589 foreign. We're at $2,248,000,000.
Can you imagine back when we started the movie show, which is a long time ago, if we had talked about a movie making over $2 billion? billion dollars when the definition of a blockbuster back then was $100 million.
Wow.
It is remarkable. What can you say? And then Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. You know, maybe my expectations were too high because I really have liked the Ant-Man series. I liked one I loved. I really liked two. This one, not so much. I mean, I didn't hate it. But, you know, we're down to the point where everything is in the multiverse and complex and it's crazy. And so, I don't know.
Here's the problem with this movie. Everyone loves Paul Rudd.
That's right.
And that's why they went.
Right.
And then when they came out and they go, well, that sucked, then I think the numbers are going to drop. But
yeah.
It opening weekend,
yeah.
127 domestic, 130 foreign, $257 million for kind of a ho-hum movie.
It'll be interesting to see what it does, you know, the legs. Are people going to go back and see it twice? So Ant-Man and the Wasp.
The Movie Show.
Who's president of the United States in 1985?
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan, the actor?
On KSL News Radio.
The final half hour of the movie show as cheers go up around the world.
We're on the bell lap.
We're on the what lap?
The bell lap.
Where the bells ring.
No, that's they ring a bell.
Angels are getting their wings.
On the last lap, Mr. Sports.
No, I do know that.
Okay.
The horse race and everything.
Okay. Sounds like you know what you're talking about.
No, it doesn't. Okay, Stephen, we probably, you know, I think we probably ought to take care of a little telephone torture here.
Sure.
So we don't nudge up too close to the newscast.
The finish line.
And totally destroy the credibility. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for telephone torture on the movie show with fabulous prizes worth up to dollars from our friends at the Megaplex Theater. And we are going to have the traditional gift offering, which is two tickets to whatever Megaplex Theater you want to go to see whatever movie you want to go see. So, and you can have those in your hip pocket, use them next week, this week, whatever, you know.
Sure.
And then you'll also be able to have two drinks when you go to the theater and a tub of popcorn as well. So, Stephen, I'm thinking of a number.
Three.
It is caller number three. Now, Gustavo is back in the studio fixing the lines right now by going
keeping
click,
track.
Click, click, click,
no
click,
honest tongue.
Just beeping through Novahe because
no
the ball owner is, and, you know, yeah. You,
so who's
you putting
call?
Out the hit list over here?
Yeah, I'm just checking my
I
list.
I don't recall we have ever had an Arnold.
Should we?
Yeah, of course we should.
Why?
In honor of Tom Arnold.
What did he do?
Terrible movies? You know?
Well, True Lies was good.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Okay, so let's go to our phone line, which is KSL Talk.
Where'd you pick Arnold out of?
I don't know. It just came to mind.
Arnold Ziffel, as I think of the pig.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, yes.
Ooh.
Get to the Jabba. Do it now.
That was a great Liam Neeson we just heard. Okay, so now let's go to our phone line and find out who is lurking out there. Hi, who's this?
This is Don.
Don, how are you?
Oh, pretty good.
What have you got? 14 phones? You got 14 phones sitting around you. One is beeping right now.
He's a telemarketer. 16.
He's a 15, not 16, 15 phones. Well, Don, you know, even with your great Herculean effort here, you are still
a loser.
What? Yeah, no, that's
a
true.
A loser.
A loser. No, that's true. We're going to confirm that right now.
I'm a loser, baby.
Gustavo went right for it. Okay, now let's go back to the phone line. And hi, who's this?
I knew we'd run out someday.
Yeah.
There it is.
Don's reaching for all of his 15 other phones.
The last of us.
Is this the. So Don was our last listener?
I think so.
Probably. All right. Hi, who's this?
Hi, this is Steve.
Steve, how are you?
I'm hoping great.
You're awfully chipper for a loser.
Ooh.
Well, I got in and talked to you. That's a wonderful
that is so true.
Event in the universe.
Ooh. It is a rather interesting, wonderful event in the universe when you can actually say, today, I was on the movie show. Yes, I was a loser.
I was on the movie show, but I was a loser. But
yeah,
that's better
exactly.
than so many
let's,
things.
Let's Let's confirm that
for
Steve.
I think his glass is half full.
Here we go.
Big freaking loser.
Oh, where'd we get that sound?
I don't know that one.
I don't know that one either. Gustavo, where did we get that one, you know, to be a caller from last week? I was trying to place the movie that it was in. That's right. Last week they were a big fan. Okay. All right. Let's go back to the phone line. And this person is going to be a big wiener, Steve.
Let's have it.
Yeah, let's let them have it. Hi, who's this? We need the crickets back. There they are. This is the end.
Ooh, I love that song. The Doors.
My only friend, the end. Okay, hi. Who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike, how are you? Now, this isn't Magic Mike, is it?
No, I'm not that attractive.
He'd like to think so.
He'd like to think he's Magic Mike, but he's not. Mike, congratulations, because it is my honor, it is my privilege, it is my duty to inform you that you are a big
wiener.
I knew he had it in him.
His voice just went up three octaves.
There we go. You are a big wiener. You've won fabulous prizes worth up to
dollars.
Of course you have. Fabulous prizes worth up to dollars from the movie show, but primarily from the Megaplex theaters, because, you know, we don't have much of a budget. So Yeah, thanks to Megaplex theaters. Now, here's the question, though. What movie are you going to go see?
I don't know. I haven't been to a movie for a little bit, so I'll have to see what's out there.
Well, we're going to remedy that, and while you're there, you can have two drinks for yourself, or you can share with the person you're taking, or you can wolf down the whole tub of popcorn yourself, or you can share.
Might want to share.
You know, you're going to have to take somebody with you because you got two tickets. So, now, before we can just, you know, hand those over, shower you with a plethora of gifts.
Oh,
Dee's out there. I know she's going to slap him. Okay, you've got to make all those losers feel just a little bit better about themselves today. So what do?
We introduce Frank Sinatra.
Ooh, that was nice.
Oh, Chipper Mike there.
Chipper Mike.
So where are you going to sleep tonight? In a Doug house?
Ooh, clever. You're chortling over Frank.
I stopped.
The Sicilian folks are going to come after you. And I do have his home address, so if you need it, give me a call. There you have it, ladies
always
and gentlemen.
Always got my back.
Yeah,
with a knife in
always
it.
Always got your back. There's no doubt about it. The Movie Show and Telephone Torture, sponsored very proudly by our friends at the Megaplex Theaters.
The Movie Show.
You probably think this world is a dream come true, but you're wrong.
On KSL News Radio.
Okay, let's get a little sound from the Jesus Revolution. Here we go.
There is an entire generation searching.
Slow down, man, slow down.
Just in all the wrong places. If you want to reach my people, you need to speak to them in a language they understand.
If I bring them in, I'm going to lose my job.
We can only walk through doors open to us. And your church, that's a door that's shut.
Wow. Kelsey Grammer is a preacher down in California, and he's got this little congregation. It's aging and not growing at all, and his daughter comes to the meetings kind of because she's the pastor's daughter, kind of got to be there.
She'd rather be anywhere else,
and, you know, supportive wife here and everything, but it just isn't working. And so, you know, all of a sudden, this guy shows up, and he looks like Jesus, and, you know, like many people back in the hippie yippy dippy days did. And all of a sudden he comes to their home, and the daughter is really, you know,
well, she
bonding
picked
brought
him up.
Yeah,
hitchhiking.
And it's a remarkable chain of events that starts. And at first, of course, the pastor is just, oh, okay, this isn't working.
I thought it was going to be a joke because his name is Lonnie Frisbee.
I know. I thought it was,
like,
too.
Come on.
And, you know, kind of like, well, he needs a bath and he needs this and everything else. And the typical stuff of that era, long hair. I mean, you know, I lived through that. So, you know,
but he starts saying stuff that's pretty amazing.
But then he has kind of a heart-to-heart conversation in their home. And all of a sudden the preacher's listening and going, you know, this is what the Savior said. And what about this? And what about this? So anyway, he comes to the congregation, and of course the other congregants are just going, "Oh, good grief, what's going on here?"
If he's not wearing shoes,
they're barely tolerating. And then they're complaining about that, you know. And then more people start coming, and the preacher just starts opening the door that had been closed. And then the congregants are really complaining that, well, you know, they're barefooted, and you know, their feet aren't clean and everything else. And then what are they doing to the carpet that we raise money for? Mm-hmm. So the Kelsey Grammer character one Sunday is there washing their feet
as
cool. they come in, and you go, oh my goodness, this is very touching. But one of the, you know, kind of the, I don't know if he's a deacon or what the situation is, but somebody who's a power player in the very small congregation, he finally's just had it. He gets up and he's walking
out. Because
the other half, you know, it's like divided right down the middle.
Yeah.
And he's kind of motioning to the others, okay, join me. And so this old guy stands up, and he you know, you think, okay, he's going to go out. He steps into the aisle, and he doesn't go out. He goes over and sits down with all of the hippies that are in there.
What does he say? Let's begin.
Yeah. And then he just sits. And what happens, and this has the human foibles. It's not perfect, you know. Egos start coming into play as this grows and grows and
actually,
grows.
Actually, that's when the movie kind of got my attention.
It was interesting because they're not sugarcoating this.
Right.
I mean, we're all human. We all have foibles. We all have faults. But then, it, you know, the music that's being played in that area, I mean, Jesus is just all
man.
Right with me. You know, all of the stuff.
The great late 60s, early 70s songs.
Oh, yeah. And it's really quite remarkable. And then at the end, it reaches a crescendo when, I mean, even Billy Graham has embraced this in one of the largest Christian gatherings in the history of North America, if not the, happened in that era. This is well worth the watch. I like this. I mean, it's a solid 3-star movie. It's not great, but it's good.
Well, my problem with Christian movies have been that they've been so, you know, like, you've got to do this.
In your face.
And not, you don't see the foibles of humanity, which right. I thought really made this movie a lot more interesting than I thought it was going to be.
And this isn't jamming a religion,
well,
or religion generally down your throat.
Christianity, it's pretty pushy about
but,
it.
But it also, it shows the rough sides. It shows the downsides.
That's where I thought
and that's what I worked. That's what legitimized it for me.
Yeah.
It made it real. So, again, where do we see this?
This is in wide release.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see it anywhere, just about anywhere. So
The Jesus Revolution.
It's PG-13. I thought the Lonnie character was really kind of fascinating when I thought he was just going to be some stupid hippie.
No, absolutely.
And, yeah, no.
And boy, some of these folks are dealing with real issues, drug addictions and different things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, the mom of
and,
the yeah. kid, Greg.
Yeah, I thought it was quite touching. Thanks so much for being part of the movie show.
Like anchovies on a pizza.
And tonight, when you go home, please make sure that you hug the people you love.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.